Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. It is a great privilege and high honor to have with us one of the most distinguished and, I think, extraordinary servicemen in our country's history. He is these days a retired four-star admiral, Admiral James Ace Lyons. But over the course of his some 36 years of service to our country, he rose through the ranks from able-bodied seaman to a four-star commander-in-chief of the Pacific Fleet. He's on the, and indeed chairs, the Center for Security Policy's Military Committee and has been one of our most highly regarded and much sought-after contributors to this program. It's always a delight to catch up with him. Admiral Lyons, welcome back, sir.
It's nice to be back with you, Frank, and your audience.
Thank you. I wanted to catch you, Admiral, among other things, because I had a bracing and frankly, very depressing conversation recently with Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, United States Marine Corps retired now with the Heritage Foundation, about a book that he edited there called the 2018 Index of U.S. Military Strength. And I know it wouldn't come as a surprise to you, but I think it would be shocking reading to most Americans to discover the deplorable condition of the United States military at the moment. He says that of the four services, two are rated as marginal in terms of their capability to perform their mission, and two are rated weak. This is appalling. There's a new piece of legislation, the National Defense Authorization Act, the president signed yesterday, but it goes a very, very short way toward remedying what ails the military. Your thoughts on all of that, sir, if I could.
Well, it goes back to the Budget Control Act that really cut the material readiness and capabilities of our forces dramatically. And never forget, this was an Obama initiative which had the desired effect of not only weakening, but almost dismantling our military forces to the point where we now have the smallest army since World War II, the smallest Navy since World War I, the smallest Air Force in its history, and the Marine Corps is suffering the same consequences. More importantly is the readiness of the active duty forces. The carrier air wings of the Navy are somewhere overall at about 30%. The deployed air wings are certainly in much better shape than that. But due to scarce materiel support and repair parts, that readiness is not where it should be, which should be around 90%. And those deployed carriers' air wings are probably somewhere around 80%. And that's the same for the Marine Air, which is at 30%, and the conditions where they're going into museums to find parts to repair active duty aircraft.
Yeah, this is insane. It is unconscionable. And the thing that I know must make you most furious, Admiral, is that what we're doing is not only imperiling our ability to perform vital missions for this country, but we're also imperiling needlessly the men and women in uniform who we're sending into harm's way to perform those missions because they don't have the kit they need. They don't have the readiness. They don't have the training. This is indeed unconscionable. Admiral, let me ask you about a further fillip to all of this. You have written extensively in your columns at the Washington Times. Specifically, you've talked about the impact on the United States military, the deleterious impact of the social engineering that was done notably during the Obama administration, but that unbelievably is continuing now under the Trump administration. Talk, if you would, in that connection most recently about this decision to begin the enlistment of transgender individuals in the armed forces.
Well, it makes absolutely no sense. As the lead psychiatrist at Johns Hopkins University has stated, that transgenderism is a mental disorder. It needs treatment and understanding. It should never be forced on the military. And no matter how many operations you go through, You cannot change the original biological factor. But more than that, people forget it is, you know, the social engineering mandates that were forced on our military did absolutely nothing to improve readiness and our material or morale support. In fact, what they did, it was had the effect, unit integrity, cohesiveness, and the will to win. It did nothing to improve our readiness. It all should be canceled. And one other thing, Frank, people need to understand, it is the military that sets the standards for enlistment. Nobody has a right to serve in the military unless they meet those standards. The mission of the military is singular, to protect and defend this great country of ours, and if, when challenged, to win as quickly as possible. Anything that distracts from that mission must be rejected. That goes for certainly the transgender issue, for the don't ask, don't tell removal, which we've had reported in 2014. We've had over 12,000 unwanted male-on-male advances. None of this makes any sense. As I found out, there are three things aboard a ship you can never have. One's a thief, two's a drug user or a drug pusher, and three is a homosexual. And that includes the entire LGBT agenda. It adds nothing to the capabilities of the ship or our readiness.
And what is so infuriating to me as a non-military advocate for national security is the idea that you could have a federal judge telling the commander-in-chief, telling the Secretary of Defense, telling the United States military that their standards don't matter a damn, that they are going to take these people in, as you say, suggesting at least that they have a right to serve. That is not the case, needless to say. Admiral, we're talking about all of this as the world is becoming palpably more dangerous by the day. I was struck by the fact that Senator Lindsey Graham, who is seen by many as one of the leading lights on national security in the United States Senate, I've had my disagreements with him from time to time, but on this issue, he seems to have been reading your column. He said, we need to get the dependence, the United States military's dependence, out of South Korea, because they may well find themselves and actually be hostages in the kinds of threats that the North Koreans are currently posing to our South Korean allies and our troops there. Talk a little bit about the importance of that as you see it, and more broadly, the threat that is emanating from the North.
Well, as you know, in my op-ed, that's one of the things I recommended that we do, that we have to change the dynamics over there. What we're doing with the North Korean nuclear issue is we're only reacting. And when you face an adversary, you have to retain the initiative. You have to keep them off balance. You want them to react to you, not you always reacting to them. And in this case, I said one of the first ways to change the dynamics is to withdraw all U.S. military dependents from South Korea. Right now, they're acting as a hostage force, and it sends the signal that we're really not going to take any action at all.
Well, a signal that was very powerfully telegraphed, of course, yesterday by the Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, that we're desperate to negotiate with the North Koreans, even to just talk about the weather, whatever they want to do. Bad diplomacy, it seems. Admiral Ace Lyons, I thank you so much for your time, your incredible and continuing service to our country, most especially that you're rendering as the chairman of the Center for Security Policy's Military Committee. Come back to us again, if you would, very soon, sir. In the meantime, a Merry Christmas to you. I hope the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.